I wanted to start today's video, today's Q&A, by diving again into the Excel bully malarkey that the UK has been immersed in the last week or so. Like you know, as you know, Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, banned the Excel bully the other day. And I thought it was very appropriate to make a video on it and for you guys to discuss and for you guys to chip in. And you have chipped in, and thank you so much for all your comments. Some of the comments have been absolutely very, very thoughtful. They have been incredible, so thank you so much. I wanted to touch on a few things that I think are important going forward for the breed and for everyone's welfare, basically, because it is true that we cannot have daily attacks of dogs to people on the news. That's just unfathomable, and it wasn't going to fly, basically. It wasn't going to be a very good thing for anybody. It wasn't going to end well. The first thing I wanted to say is that there had been a lot of political pressure. We had seen so many articles, so many videos over the past few weeks and the past few months, and those things just add up and sink into the consciousness of the nation, and people start demanding more and more action from the government, or any action at all from the government. And the government have come out and said, hey, we cannot have this, and we are going to try to regulate this thing. And the thing they did was ban the Excel bully, or make plans to ban the Excel bully. They have a very, very tough task in their hands, and I'll tell you why. It's going to be very, very hard to define that breed. It's going to be almost impossible to define that breed, and it's also going to be very, very difficult, almost impossible, to enforce it when it comes to a whole nation. What constitutes an American XL bully, or an American bully, or an XL bully, whatever you want to call it? You've got pocket bullies, you've got all sorts of different breeds, and you have all sorts of breeds that will be crossbred to look a very specific way, and they are going to have an extremely hard time defining the breed. What size constitutes an XL bully? How do we differentiate breeds when we are crossbreeding one with the other? It's going to be almost impossible, in my opinion. And then what happens when you find a banned breed? What happens when you find that on the street? Who do you call? Do you call the police, and then they show up, and then they have to take out a tape measure and measure the head and make sure that dog is not an XL bully? And it's just gonna add more to police resources, and they are very limited, and they are stretched as it is. So that's going to be an absolute nightmare for the police to enforce. And it's almost always left to the police when it comes to some of these legislations that come out. And it's not, I think, the right way to go on about it, because the police, as I said, have other things to worry about, a lot more important things to worry about than going round and turning up whenever someone reports what they think an XL bully is, and they have seen a pocket bully and they want to get rid of it. How is that going to work? Is there going to be retaliation from the dog owner who's going to have the dog taken away from them, for example? How do we think about that? The possibility of that happening, for that matter. We then have the safety concerns. We have all sorts of things to think about, and it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. There is a criminalization and a penalty in place for people who, in England and Wales and the UK, I believe, who own one of the banned dog breeds. However, the penalties aren't really there whenever we come to dog attacks. What happens when the bad breeders don't breed XL bullies anymore, and then they cross whatever that breed is, that dog is, with another breed, and then they have the same problem. They end up having the same problem. We go on to more dog attacks, and then we go on to more media pressure, and then the circle goes back around, and it's the never-ending circle, in my opinion. We need to do something about breeders in this country. We really do need to do something about breeders. You have no idea how many breeders come to our branches to buy food or to buy toys, or they say they are breeders, and they come to the shop and they breed their dogs every other month, and they have unlimited amount of litters, and they might just be insert breed. It might just be cockapoos, for example, but they just overbreed cockapoos. How is that licensed? How do we police that? I think harsher sentencing on bad breeders and bad actors is a must, you know, because these dogs end up suffering. These dogs end up in shelters. These dogs end up neglected. These dogs, because people think they are going to make some money and they are going to turn a profit, they just skimp on the dog's welfare. And it's horrible, you know. We do have to make sure we say the right thing whenever we talk to one of these people, but it is undeniable that there are so many bad breeders. And then the last thing before we move on is, a lot of people who own XL Bullies is because they want to feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Know that Arnold Schwarzenegger has a bad bone in his body, but they just want to feel very masculine, and they want to use the dog as a weapon. And like we said in the video, dogs should not be weapons, and you should not thrive through your dog. You should thrive yourself and then get a dog for companionship, for the right reasons. Get a dog because you want your dog to be with you, and because you want to love your dog, not because you want your dog to potentially protect you or potentially attack someone in a drug dispute. That seems to be some of the profiles of the people who have this XL Bully. And there's so much of this on the internet, you know, King Kong XL Bully for sale, that sort of thing, $3,000. I just don't think that the whole thing stinks, and they are going to have to think very, 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 very much about what to do next, because it's not going to be easy. Let me know what you think in the comments. Kane Corso Denmark on Instagram: feeding raw means only meat and bones, no veggies needed. I have been feeding raw for 40 years. Kane Corso Denmark, or Kane Corso Denmark, thank you so much for the question. Feeding raw means only meat and bones. Yes and no, yes and no. There are two very distinctive camps in the raw feeding tribe, or the raw feeding society, or whatever you want to call it. People get very, very tribal when they talk about raw food. And I will give you an example. You only have to go to a raw feeding Facebook group and say, I am feeding this, what do you guys think? And you will just get bombarded by the mob. And they will, in some cases, even harass you and even say not very nice things about your post, or just, they will just, they won't be very nice. Feeding raw means only meat and bones. In theory, yes. That is one argument. There is one argument that says, yes, dogs don't have salivary amylase. Dogs have their jaws designed to chew on meat and bone. And I agree and I side with that ethos. My dog is fed on a pure 80-10-10. 80-10-10 is 80% lean meat, 10% offal, of which 5% is liver, and 10% is bone. All these ratios I give or take. He doesn't get fed any vegetables. He does not get fed any starches. He doesn't get fed anything else but meat, offal and bone and nothing else. And he's happy, he's healthy, and he is wonderful. Now, we sell all the raw foods with some vegetables in it. And we see so many dogs who are doing incredible on these foods. Now, the argument is, if you are going to raw feed, what percentage of the food should be vegetables? And in my head, is the lowest amount possible. If dogs make their own blood sugar from protein and fat and do not need any starches whatsoever, why do we need to feed the dog more than 5, 10, 15% vegetables? I don't like it whenever manufacturers say this is 50% meat, 50% vegetables. I don't like 50% meat, 50% vegetables. You are then diluting down the raw. Are you feeding raw? Yes. Is that too many carbohydrates? Yes. So yes. At heart, I do agree with you. Is that the only way to feed raw? I don't think so. We see people, we sell both. We sell 80-10-10s and we sell brands of raw dog food with some vegetables. And it's all organic and it's all pretty healthy. And there are studies out there that promote some fermented vegetables. As with all in dog food, one has to be careful and one has to do what it's right in their heads. And the more we have studied this thing and the more we have seen other people feed what they feed and the results those dogs have from feeding what they have fed, the more we feel confident in saying that one is not better than the other. There are two different camps. If you are going to feed your dog raw, that's wonderful. 80-10-10 is a school of thought, and a little bit of vegetables is okay too. That's it, a little bit, not a lot. Thank you for the question. Now, another comment. Gypsy and Ginger Mikey from TikTok, thank you so much. True, I'm a vet and I agree with you 100%. I never deworm my animals once in a month, neither once in 3 months. I deworm them once in a year. Well, thank you so much for your comment. And this is a vet that takes a sensible approach to the whole thing. I made another video on how often should you worm and flea your dog? How often should you give your dog tablets? Bear in mind that dogs are not very well equipped to breaking down those tablets in the liver. They are going to put pressure in that liver and in that digestive system if you feed them, if you give it to them, rather, every month. And so many prescriptions or so many recurring flea and worming tablets are now prescribed or one can subscribe to on a monthly basis. And I don't think that's right. I don't think we should be worming or fleeing our dogs on a regular basis. I've always said that I am a believer in science. I think that stuff really does work. I've applied those treatments myself to my dog and my cat. They get flea and worm, but it only happens once a year, maybe twice a year. It depends. Do you see the worms? Do you see the fleas? Are you exploratory? Do you go on long hikes? Do you live in the country? Do you live out in the sticks? Is your dog more exposed to worms? Is your border collie working 12, 14 hours every day? Then you are going to have to be more vigilant. But if you have a Pomeranian and that Pomeranian lives in your apartment in New York City, how exposed is that dog going to be to fleas and ticks and all that sort of stuff? So 100%, thank you so much for your question. That's that sides with what we think. I had a consultation and the customer wanted to switch from raw to kibble. This South African lady, she was wonderful, she was great. Raw is not for her after 14 years because it takes a bit of preparation. She was very clued up on nutrition, so it was a wonderful consultation. By the way, if you want to speak to us, you can click in the link down below, and me and my team will be happy to help you, and you can totally speak to us. She asked where the protein from our foods came from. And I want to share something with you, which is a trend that I have been seeing a lot more in the pet food industry, and it's a thing that not many people talk about. Now, protein is protein at a macro level. We have our macronutrients and micronutrients. We have our macro ingredients, our micro ingredients, and protein is protein, but not all protein comes from the same place. Not all protein has the same quality. And what this lady was keen to know is, where does the protein from our food comes from? I'll tell you something. A lot of modern dog food manufacturers and cat food manufacturers, for that matter, are now starting to try to cheapen the food with potato protein, pea protein, garbanzo protein. I've seen protein come from legumes more than from animals, more than from lamb or chicken or beef or venison, ostrich, rabbit, whatever. And it is my belief, and it is demonstrable, that pea protein and potato protein is a hell of a lot cheaper to manufacture and put into a bag of dog food than the actual lamb or the actual venison or the actual chicken that then goes into a bag of food. So many manufacturers are now putting potato protein or pea protein, and that constitutes 6% of the bag, 15% of the bag. So the crude protein ratio on the bag of the food might be high, but it's high because of the amount of filler and the amount of protein that comes from potatoes. I don't want my dog to have potato protein or pea protein. I think my dog is very well, and your dog is very well equipped and optimized to breaking down animal protein. And unless your dog has a specific health issue and specific kidney disease or specific condition whereby they cannot have any animal protein whatsoever, which is extremely rare, and it's 1 in 10,000. It's literally, whenever dogs come to us and people come to us saying, hey, my dog cannot have any animal protein whatsoever, but we feed them, we give him chicken and he's fine on chicken, I'm like, your dog is, you are all over the place. You don't really know what you're talking about. If you are giving your dog chicken, your dog is okay with chicken protein, lady. The thing you need to do is look into the ingredients and assess everything you are giving the dog. But anyway, if your food contains potato protein or pea protein or protein that doesn't come from animals, there is a very high chance that your manufacturer wants you to buy this cheaper protein because it's higher profit for them. And I would encourage you to stay away from these manufacturers. I don't like them. So that's a consultation I did, and I thought I would share that with you because I care about you. Our vet told us the food we were giving our dog had too much protein and that she has developed a protein intolerance. The vet advised Hill's ID sensitive stomach, rice and egg. Do you have an insight on this? I do have an insight on this, and the insight is that I do not agree with your vet at all. So I have spoken about Hill's in the past, and Hill's is a pretty poor food when it comes to dogs and when it comes to cats. We have ingredients in Hill's pet food that I would never give my dog. Ever. The problem with a lot of prescription dog foods is that they use first inflammatory ingredients where we don't really know the provenance of. I mean, whole wheat and corn and corn gluten meal and maize starch and all these things should never be in pet food, let alone a dog with some sort of health issue. So that's one thing. And then the second thing is that they will say poultry 15%, out of which chicken 9%. But the rest, we don't really know what it is. We know that chicken is of 9%. And if 9% is chicken, the other percentage, what is it exactly? If we have animal fats is a wonderful example. Most prescription dog foods contain animal fats. If we have a dog that has a protein intolerance and we give them animal fats, they have allergies, they have any sort of health condition. Animal fats is not very specific, right? It isn't, it just isn't. So rice and egg, because of the protein intolerance, it's one or the other, this advice that the vet has told you. Rice, we don't like rice for dogs or cats. They have a hard time digesting it. They're not very well equipped to digesting it. And then egg, if the dog has developed a protein intolerance, eggs are one of the most nutritious, incredible superfoods there are on this planet. And eggs are extremely high in protein. That's why bodybuilders love eggs. They love whole eggs. So either you are not telling me the whole story, which I don't think you are, or your vet has just given you the take this bag of prescription food and give the dog rice and egg, which is some blanket advice. So I would book a consultation with us if you want us to help, but your question is neither here nor there, to be fair. This was a very interesting one, and this will be a fun one. This customer was pouring milk on the kibble to make the dog eat. She had tried chicken, she had tried mince, she had put all sorts of things on the kibble. But the milk was very, very interesting because I believe this was a cockapoo, and cockapoos are very, very smart dogs. Well, all dogs will be smart when it comes to food because they have this sort of sixth sense when it comes to food. If you start giving the dog or bribing the dog or thinking that you are bribing the dog for the dog to eat, the dog will play tricks with you, undoubtedly. The dog will literally hold out for food, hold out for treats, hold out for you to pour milk or to add chicken broth or for you to give them gravy or for you to give them table scraps or bread or whatever you are feeding the dog, which I don't agree with. If you want your dog to eat the food, be tough with the dog. Let the dog eat the food. Don't feed the dog anything else. Have the conversation with your family. Have the conversation with yourself. Hey, if we have a problem, we do not want to be changing the food or changing our behavior or be changing what we put on the kibble so that this dog eats. It's insanity, it's lunacy, it's absolutely lunacy. So if you have a fussy dog, be cruel to be kind. That's my best piece of advice. Chico4098 on YouTube, thank you for sharing your knowledge and passion about dogs' welfare. No, thank you for the kind comment. Let me tell you something, it would be incredible for us to help 10 million dogs with allergies. Every day, dogs wake up in the morning, they scratch their ears, they have red bellies, and there are so many nutrition allergies, so many environmental allergies, so many breed-specific or litter-specific allergies, and they can be managed. And if your dog has a nutrition allergy, it can be reversed 100%. And it is very likely that something you are giving the dog is not agreeing well with them. And you can actually stop going to the vet. You can actually stop giving the dog steroids. The dog might never be on Apoquel ever again if you get to grips with this. So absolutely, thank you so much. We would love to help millions and millions of dogs, and I think that the more we can do this in a safe way, in a controlled way, in an instructive way, the more we can help you with your dog's nutrition. So yes, thank you so much.